Well, I've never believed in sermon titles being somewhere somehow tricky or trying to fool you or anything like that. So it's pretty obvious that today's sermon is going to come from our John reading, the true vine. That's where it is. But I'd like you to keep in mind a couple of things coming out of our first John reading, just as sort of a backdrop to the particular direction I'm going to take. And it's verse 10 and verse 19 1 John chapter 4. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, the first part of verse 10. And then verse 19, we love because he first loved us. So let's keep those in mind as a reminder of sort of the direction we're going to go. And as I've mentioned, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, as I've mentioned, I'm beginning to realize that at least part of where I'm preaching in this particular section of the lectionary this time is a corrective on my own church experience, which I really... Once I recognized it, I thought, well, that's not a bad impetus. It's not a bad reason to look at these texts in a particular way. But you do need to remind yourself, speaking to myself, in my, which I do out loud, by the way, sometimes when I'm working downstairs in my desk. And I'm not loud enough, so people come down and say, what are you talking about? So you're not going crazy down there. But so I said to myself, you need to remember that not everybody grew up in the same kind of church or took the same things from these texts. But they might have. And so I think it's an okay way to look at these texts. It's sort of saying, this is what I grew up with. And it wasn't wrong. I didn't grow up in a church that taught heresy by any means or anything like it. But what I took from it turned out to be unhelpful. And this passage of Scripture, John chapter 15, one of the famous I am passages in John, where Jesus said, I am the true vine. When I was growing up, was not a source of comfort, but is actually a bit of a source of concern. And as I've said before, I wasn't really a person of faith until much later, but I was still in this milieu, and so I was concerned about this, and it took me a long time to look at this passage from what I think is a more helpful way than I did. Because when I read this passage, all I ever really picked up from it, and I don't know, at this point, I don't know if it was a regular minister or if it was a traveling preacher or something who came in. What I heard was just the part about he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And all I heard were things like pruning and getting thrown into a fire and burned. And I'm not saying they're not in the text, because of course they are. But what I realized is it had made me hold on to this notion of a connection with Christ that was so tentative, which is just crazy when you think about it. I haven't had a lot of experience with vines, with grapevines, other than, you know, wrestling with the grapes you buy at the supermarket. But my understanding is that a grapevine is actually really tough. And when I read this passage, what I thought is, you know, if I think the wrong thing or I do the wrong thing, I'm just going to fall off. And there I am, I'm going to be picked up from the ground as this useless branch and thrown into the fire and burned. Well, apparently branches don't fall off grapevines very often. And my understanding of harvesting grapes is that it's a lot of work, because the vine is actually kind of tenaciously holding on to its fruit, like every other plant in the world. How I got that, I have no idea. But I realized that I had. And as I was reflecting on this text, I realize that even now, 45 years later, however long it's been since I first encountered this, there's this little pop-up that says, oh, you better watch out, you know, you might fall off. You might just be one of these useless branches. And then from there you go into, or maybe I'll just get pruned. Because of course, you know, you just get pruned. You get pruned at random. You get pruned sort of at almost willy-nilly. My mother was a gardener. A really good gardener. She was one of those people who could grow virtually anything. How did I come up with such a demented view of a plant? I don't know. Or a gardener, for that matter. And so, as I said, this is my issue and probably not yours. But if it is, just let's together, me and whoever else joins me in this, not focus on the bit about getting tossed into the fire, because that's not the primary purpose of this passage. It's not the primary purpose of any of the Gospels. The Gospels were not recorded by Jesus' followers to make us frightened or to give us this sense that God was kind of capricious. And he used this image that was incredibly powerful to the people of the day who knew vineyards extremely well, unlike me, to give some idea of how connected we are. And to give us another view of that organic nature of the church and of the body of Christ, that it's all one, even though it looks like it isn't. I've seen pictures of vineyards, and I've seen movies set in vineyards and all that. And sometimes it's hard to believe, as someone's walking down the vineyard, the row of vines, whatever it's called, sometimes it's hard to believe that all of those grapes come from one plant. The way back in the, it's stuck into the ground, and then it just grows. And it grows and it grows, and it looks like it should be a whole bunch of plants because it's so long if you're used to something like a tomato plant, that has lots of different fruit. My mother grew a type of miniature tomatoes. I think they're called Sweet 100s. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They grow, and they almost have clusters of grapes, and that the tomatoes, and so I just sort of thought that plants were like that. They grow up, and there's stuff on them, and then there's another plant. But with vines, they're different. And you can have one stalk coming out of the ground, and the vine goes on for what seems like forever, and you'd think it was many plants, but it's not. It's just one. And every branch is connected to that same plant. And that's the image that Jesus is working with. And he's reminding us that if we're going to bear fruit, and we will, we need to be connected to the vine. We need to pay attention to that connection. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You can't just sort of go off and do your own thing. When we look at this, we see this idea of fruitfulness. And we all want to be fruitful. We want to be successful in whatever it is that we do. It's just part of human nature that we want to do well. And sometimes we get hung up also on this whole notion of fruitfulness, that we will bear much fruit. Well, one of the ways that you get a plant to produce more fruit is by pruning it, which to those people who are not gardeners is, of course, counterproductive. It seems kind of strange that you would go there and you'd cut off part of a plant that you want to grow. And yet, in the hands of a skilled gardener, the pruning produces this extraordinary explosion of growth. Because what the gardener does when the gardener prunes is the gardener doesn't go to the good parts that are doing well and cut those off. The parts that are cut off a plant that's pruned are the parts that are getting in the way of growth, that are getting in the way of fruitfulness. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll think that God is going to come and prune us in ways that are, that are awful, that are unpleasant. Except it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in plants. Why would it work that way in us? When we're pruned, God, through the Holy Spirit, comes and takes off these things that get in the way of us being fruitful. Pruning isn't removing what we need or what we want. It's removing the things that we don't need, and frequently the things that we don't want, that we might be more fruitful. I don't know if a plant could say thank you, but I suspect that it would at the outcome of pruning. That doesn't mean that pruning is always pleasant, because I suppose it's not for the plant and certainly not for us. But just because something is unpleasant doesn't mean it's bad for us. Sometimes we need to take medicines that don't taste good, or that come in a pill that's unpleasant to swallow, or we have to change our routine slightly to take pills at the right time, or whatever else it might be. Does that mean they're bad? Of course not. It just means that we need to do something that perhaps we wouldn't have chosen otherwise to get the good outcome that we want. That's what pruning is. For us, pruning isn't something to be frightened of. Vine keepers who don't care about the outcome of the vineyard don't prune. absentee landlords who just own a piece of property that happens to have a grape plant on it don't come around and prune things because they don't care, because it doesn't matter to them. In the analogy that Jesus uses, the vineyard is cared for because the vineyard matters to the owner. The well-being of every branch matters to every gardener I've ever been around. Every farmer I've ever been around cares about the well-being of all of the plants, not just some of them, but all of them. Because you've put in the work to make them grow. You do what you can so they will be successful, so that the plant will grow like it's supposed to. People who don't take care of the fields they own aren't farmers. I don't know what they are, but they're not farmers. And when God looks at the vineyard, when he looks at the vine and the branches, the vine of Christ and the branches of us, he looks at each of them and knows each of them and says, I want each one to be as successful as possible. And what we need to do is remember that that notion, that assessment of success isn't ours to make. Sometimes we'll be afraid that we're going to get pruned because we're not as successful as we were in the past. And there's a couple of problems with that. First of all, what were you judging by then compared to what are you judging by now? Are they the same? Is it the same situation? And second of all, it's not really up to us to judge success. There are going to be seasons in our life where we are successful in some ways, but not in others. That's just the way it is. You know, one of the things that is really hard for lots of young couples who have been, you know, heavily involved in the church and they've done lots of stuff. You know, they volunteer all over the place. They're young, they have energy, it's terrific. And then they have their first baby. And suddenly they don't do as much in the church as they used to, which is exactly what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to pull back from some of these things to focus on this baby, this life, this incredible gift that they've been given. But sometimes they feel bad about that. And I've talked to young couples about this, and they've talked about how they regret that they can't do what they did before. And to help them realize that, but that was then and this is now, is a wonderful experience for all of us if we can help them figure it out and say that, no, that was what you were called to do then, and we're so grateful you did it. But when you have a baby at home, that changes everything. And sometimes it means that you can't volunteer at the church 5 nights a week like you did before, which was good for you and good for the church and didn't cause any problems anywhere. It was just a good thing. But if you do that now, you're not going to be doing as good a thing. Your baby needs you, needs the quiet and that sense of bonding that can come only with time. So if you're looking at what makes you successful in the church by the number of evenings you're there, well, then, yeah, you're not as successful. But God has no interest in the number of evenings you're at the church. God's interest is, are you faithful to what you've been called to? And if you've been given the great gift of a baby, you're called to raise that baby. That's the most important thing for you right now. And then at other points of your life, you will be more engaged with the church, or whatever the issue might be, whatever the volunteering option might be. You don't get pruned because you've had a long spell of illness where you haven't been able to do as well. You haven't been able to do as much. You don't get pruned because you can't do as much because you're older, because your circumstances have changed. No. God prunes those things from us that get in the way of us doing what it is that we want to do and what we should do. The success of the vine, the fruitfulness of the vine, is the responsibility primarily of the vine itself, not the branches, in this image. And the gardener is the one who makes that happen. And Jesus says, I'm the true vine. I'm the vine that when you're connected to me, you will be fruitful in ways that I consider valuable. That as you remain in me, I'll remain in you, and I'll create opportunities for you to minister to the people around you. And perhaps at some point of your life, that'll be a lot, and at other points of your life, it'll be a fewer number of people, but your ministry is all that matters. Your willingness is all that matters. This passage of Scripture is one that, as I began to understand what it actually means, is one of tremendous comfort for me. And encouragement as well, because it reminds me that I'm connected to Christ, that through the Holy Spirit, there's an organic, real connection with Jesus and with all of you. And that together we're successful, that the vine overall is successful and fruitful, and that we each play small parts in that. And that the gardener cares enough for us to occasionally prune off parts that get in the way of our ability to grow and to be fruitful. But we don't get pruned off, because that's not what the gardener's interested in. The gardener isn't interested in getting rid of as many branches as possible. The gardener wants all the branches to be as fruitful as possible. But only the gardener gets to decide what being fruitful is. A new branch doesn't produce lots of grapes. A branch that has been pecked by birds doesn't produce as many grapes as a branch that hasn't been. And the gardener knows these things. When we're connected to the vine, when we're part of this vine, as we all are, we're cared for because we're part of the vine, not because of our fruitfulness. But then as we're cared for, we are fruitful. It's a wonderful circle. And if we spend all of our time worrying about being pruned and worrying about whether we're just going to fall off, as I did when I was younger, we're probably not going to be as fruitful as we could be. But if instead we focus on our connection with Christ, the reality of our relationship with Him that is empowering and energizing, encouraging for us, then we'll know what it means to be a member of the true vine. We'll know what it means to be a branch connected to Christ. And we'll see this passage and so many others for the moments and the words of encouragement that they are. That we are with Him now and forever, here on this earth and in the world to come as well. Amen.